Destination Freedom. In cooperation with the Chicago Defender, WMAQ brings you Destination Freedom, a new radio series dramatizing the great democratic heritage of the Negro people, a part of the pageant of American history. The men who blazed the way toward the New World were men of all races and all creeds. Today, in this chapter entitled Dark Explorers, Destination Freedom tells the story of some of the Negro explorers who helped open the New World. The lightning that had disclosed the New World with Columbus' discovery was now but a flicker. The thunder that rolled over it with the gold hunters Cortez, Balboa, Velas, Almagro, Pizarro was now a rumble under the earth. The year is 1541. The place is Peru. Francisco Pizarro has been murdered. Outside the city of Lima, two grave diggers are moving the earth to make room for the dead explorer. One is Alvardo, a Negro teacher from Sevilla. The other is Omar, an Indian of Peru. Both are slaves. Both are tired.
Oh, I'm tired. Now look good, Alvardo. Isn't this deep enough to bury him?
Pizarro dead looks smaller than Pizarro living. But no, Omar. Keep digging.
Why did they have to kill him just when it's my turn to work in the field?
You kill a tyrant when his time comes. Pizarro was overdue. My eyes are dry.
Look at him, lying there like he could get up if a bugle called.
I looked at him enough when he lived. Let's get him on the ground. You still scared of him?
No, not afraid. Careful. Once I came out to bury one of these Spaniards, he'd been assassinated just like Pizarro. And I coughed and he got up and walked away.
Nonsense. If a volcano coughed, Pizarro couldn't hear it. He died the way he lived. Deaf, dumb.
How can you say that? He always listened to you.
He never listened to me.
Oh, didn't he bring you here from Seville to teach him reading and writing? I heard him say so with my own ears.
Never heard him say he learned anything. Oh. I wanted to save him from the mistakes the other explorers made. But he wouldn't listen. Instead, he made me a slave. Now, I'll bury him.
Oh, what did you want to teach him?
Not to bite off too much of the earth.
When I worked in the yards, I could see you talking to him, always talking. He seemed to be listening.
I said he never listened. At least he never understood. I told him he would end like Cortez and Balboa. He had too big a head. You'll need more room for that head. Dig here.
And you say he didn't listen?
No more than he's doing now. I tried to tell him to leave the world something more of himself than a hateful memory. I told him of the fate of Columbus, as Alonso had told it.
Alonso?
Alonso. He was a Moor with Columbus. He was a pilot before Pizarro ever saw the sail of a ship. Alonso would tell how Columbus never knew what he found. Alonso used to sit in the taverns around Paula's and tell how he was on the ship that brought Columbus back to Spain in chains.
I was playing cards that night on the ship. We were coming back from the islands and they had Columbus in chains. I was shuffling the cards, but I could hear him in the next room walking and the chains rattling.
Stop worrying about him. He's locked in his cell. Now, will you shuffle?
Yes, shuffle the cards, Alonzo. The governor wants him in chains. It's no skin off our backs.
Let him rattle his chains. Put down your stakes, Alonzo.
Yes, put your stakes.
I took a grip on the cards and put down my coins. I played, but my mind was on the man in chains whose nerve and brain and drive had unlocked a new world. I played and thought about the day I'd met him in Palos. I remember on that day, too, I sat with these same men in a tavern playing cards and losing. It was the year 1492. The Moors had lost the war with Spain. Spaniards were rejoicing, but I was not. I was a Moor, and I was in debt. I was thinking how to find a ship that could take me 1,000 miles away for a fresh start. I was playing cards, my mind 1,000 miles away.
Wake up, Alonzo. Where's your mind?
What?
You played two hands without paying, that's what.
As many ships as you've taken up the coast of Africa, surely you have money left to pay your debts.
I'll pay all right.
Well, we're waiting.
Yes, come on, show us your coins.
Since you heard about that Columbus getting a commission from the Queen, you've been doing nothing but daydreaming, Moor.
Or maybe it's because His Majesty is finally driving the Moors back to Africa.
Never mind what's on my mind.
Well, then let's have what's in your purse. Are you paying?
Of course I'm paying. It's here somewhere. I sat there, rambling through my purse for coins I knew I didn't have. I looked at Anthony's half-drawn stiletto, and I remembered I was already deeply in debt. I wished again that I was 1,000 miles away. And then...
Can anyone tell me where I'll find Alonzo Nino?
I suppose he can tell you himself. There he is.
Who's looking for him?
I am. Christopher Columbus.
Columbus? Well, speak of the devil.
You? Columbus? What do you want with me?
If you're the Alonzo they call the Negro, a Moor...
I'm all of that. What have you got to say?
It's only for you to hear. Where can we talk?
Well, I suppose there's no harm in talking alone. Come, we'll go out by the docks.
Not before you pay us, Alonzo. You don't go anywhere.
Let him go. Will these coins take care of his bill?
Well, it seems the old man's private talk is worth something. Go on, Alonzo. See what's on his mind.
I saw what was on his mind before we got to the docks. Three ships sat waiting to be manned with the ocean air blowing their sails. We stood and looked at the ships a moment. For a man past middle life, Columbus had the fire of youth in his eyes. What's this about what's on my mind? How do you know about that?
You're the best pilot in Seville, aren't you?
Some say it.
What pilot doesn't think of getting his grip on a ship? A ship that'll break away from the old routes and sail out where the sun sets. Sail west, thousands of miles away to the richest land in the world, India. A new route. You must think of it, Alonzo. I know you do.
And I think of the risks, too. And where'll I find a crew and captain that know enough of the world to get that far?
Look, you see this paper here?
I see it.
It's signed by Queen Isabella. It gives me those three ships out there. Makes me admiral and governor of the land I discover. We'll all get a part of the treasures we find in India.
This India?
The land Marco Polo talked about. We'll find a short way to get there. We'll be rich, free. I feel as you do, Alonzo. Here, every man has chains on his feet. We can snap the chains once and for all. The ships are ready. I need the crew and pilots to navigate them.
It's a pretty picture you paint. Why haven't you gotten a crew with it?
Seamen are afraid of it. Talk goes round of the sea being flat like a bed and ships falling off the edge of it. Unfortunately, some believe it. Men like you, however, who've seen the hull of a ship sink on the horizon before the sails, know there's no flatness of the sea. Won't you sign up, man? What's bothering you?
It's not falling off the world that bothers me.
Then what is it?
It'll take hardy sailors for a voyage like this. Where'll you get them?
Some of your friends will go if you go. Then the king has decreed that convicts who are willing can go with me.
What'll they get?
All I offer them is their freedom. What would you ask for going?
I suppose my price will be the same as that of the prisoners. My freedom. I went with the old man, and other men went with me. We sailed off on a hot day in August and headed towards the setting sun. It was a voyage none of us forgot. There were days when we sailed through seaweed seas, and days when we sat still, waiting for a breeze to blow. There were times it seemed we were headed for the end of the world, and mutiny broke out aboard the Santa Maria, and on the Niña the men begged to turn back. The old man wrote one thing in his log for the men to see, and another for himself to read. Then, one twilight, the longing, hunger, and fear ended when we found that Columbus was right. The word came from a sailor on the lead ship. It was the greatest day in the world. Sailors wept, cursed, laughed, danced, and looked out at the land. I was there when the old man walked out on the new ground and kissed the earth. The fire was burning bright in his eyes, and he looked younger than any of us. He looked at the land as long as he could see it. And on the deck at night, I came up to him, peering over the rail at it. He looked up and spoke.
The world's wide open now, Alonzo. It's been out there waiting for us to take it. Look at it. Look at it lying out there. Just finding it has brought me all I'll ever need. And you, Alonzo?
I'm not sure it's all we'll need. I'm not sure of it now. The old man with his thin face and fiery eyes sailed again and again. Each time he brought back fewer riches, and each time the court became more impatient until it turned to a new sport. Columbus got in the way of a bolder man. He was out-rivaled and out-sailed, and was taken off an island he discovered, put in chains, and shipped back to Spain. I was on that ship, playing cards, while in the next room Columbus shuffled up and down in his chains.
Stop listening to him, Alonzo, and shuffle the cards.
Yes, forget him. We're carrying out orders.
He'll get tired. He's an old man. He'll go to sleep and forget it.
He's an old man, but he'll never be tired.
They all get tired.
They never get tired of looking for freedom.
That was a story Alonzo told of Columbus, and I told Pizarro. He was too bullheaded to listen.
It's not good to speak evil of the dead.
Make the sign of the cross if you want to. It's Pizarro's funeral, not mine. Dig deeper.
I'm digging. You say you told him more?
Oh, yes. I told him what happened to Balboa, just as De Olana had told it.
De Olana?
He was a builder. He called himself a carpenter.
Oh.
He knew Balboa better than any of them. I can hear him now, telling the story of the Spaniard Balboa. He was one who never forgot a detail.
I was a carpenter in Balboa's crew. I never turned down a job, but I turned down this one.
De Olana, if you're not going to work with us, don't stand there in the way.
We're making the scaffold for Balboa, not you, Olana. Don't look so glum.
Oh, hurry now. They're getting ready to hang him, and we haven't nailed down the trap set. Give us a hand, De Olana. Give us a hand.
I kept my hands behind me and waited for Balboa to walk down the path to the scaffold. I thought of the day on Haiti when I met him. He had been put in slavery to work out his debt. I was the governor's carpenter. One day he came to me with a strange request.
Carpenter.
Yes?
Can you do some work for me?
For you? My time is taken up with the governor's work. Why should I stop for you?
Because I know you helped the Indians.
What?
Yes. Indians escaped from the stockade last night. I saw you when you gave one an axe. Now, if the governor knew that...
What do you want?
Make me a cask, like the casks they load rope and food in for the ships.
Yes?
Roll it down to the docks where they're loading ships.
Then what'll happen to it?
When they load the ships, they'll load on the cask, too.
Of course, but how would that help you?
I'll be inside the cask. Will you do the job?
I did the job. I made the cask and Balboa slipped himself into it. When the ships were at sea, the captain stumbled upon the cask and took the stowaway into his crew. They took him on all their trips, and in a few years, Balboa was the best explorer of them all. He took his ships over the New World, probing, knocking, poking, searching for greater treasure. And I went with him. I was with him when he sailed along the coast of America, looking for a way across it. I was with him when he fought along the coast. I was with him when he marched inland, looking for new lands to conquer, looking for the fabulous Peru we heard about, and for a strange new ocean Columbus had talked about, but never saw. I was with him when he questioned an Indian chief and found a way to reach it.
Answer my questions or we burn everything in your village. Now, old man, they say somewhere there's land where the people make everything out of gold or silver.
Silver?
Or gold. Come, speak the truth.
I know where is silver.
Show us.
You go towards mountains. Go that way till you reach top of it. Then you see it. Silver is water. More water than anywhere else in world.
We knew it was the ocean Columbus had heard about. We sent back the men who were sick or weak, and we struck out through the jungles. We fought through fierce tribes and in the heat of the swamps, took off our armor and steel caps and plunged ahead. In 20 days, we had gone 20 miles. We came to the foot of the mountain and began to climb the top. We were nearly there when Balboa stopped us and drew his sword.
The man who looks at the new ocean before I do will die. From here on, I'll go alone.
I stepped back, but still standing there was a young soldier who was new with Balboa. He was Francisco Pizarro. He confronted Balboa boldly.
I've suffered as much as you have to win this day. Why should I go back? If we claim it, we claim it together.
Will you fight me for it?
They stared at each other for a long while. Then Pizarro stepped back. Hatred made him shake like a leaf. But Balboa went ahead. He climbed up the mountainside alone. We watched him break through the small trees and reach the peak. And there he stood stiff and still while we watched. Then he beckoned for us to come. It was too big for one man's eyes to see. The ocean lay there gleaming, glistening, rising and falling, waiting for us to sail on its surface and open up the other side of the world. We stumbled down the mountain and rushed to it. We bathed and played in it. Balboa stabbed the king's flag in it and claimed it for Spain. He stood glowing in the water with his beard wet and winked at me.
Now, Carpenter, aren't you glad you made that cask for me? Wasn't it worth the trouble?
We haven't seen the end of this.
There is no end to this new world. When the king hears of this, he'll give me more troops to go on to Peru. We'll be the richest explorers in Europe.
And after that?
After that? After that, there'll be nothing in the world we can't have for the taking. Nothing.
Balboa was wrong. He never found what he sought in the New World. Francisco Pizarro hated Balboa and told the governor Balboa was a traitor. Traitors were sent to the gallows. Balboa was led out to the scaffold while I stood beside it. The carpenters were ready. He walked out with his head up, his eyes looking westward, and stood on the gallows while the noose was adjusted. This man who had used his freedom to enslave others was ready to pay the price. The trap was sprung. Balboa was dead. He left the new world open wider. More ruthless explorers thundered in. I went back to being a carpenter.
Well, I told Pizarro a carpenter is what he should have been. He'd be alive now instead of lying here, stiff, waiting for us to bury him. I told him what old Relan had said. Relan, the gunsmith, who stuck it out with the bloodiest of them all, Cortez. I told him what Relan told me, how he joined Cortez.
I was working in my gun shop when I met this Cortez. He was a likable lad. You could see he itched for the gold and glory that was being won in the new world. He'd asked me to go with him. He'd gone to get the governor of one of the colonies to help him. He came back angry, a bag under his arm. I looked up and asked him, what did the governor say?
Oh, he's a man with no imagination. I asked him to outfit me for an expedition.
Yes?
Told him I had good men ready to go with me. A gunsmith who can keep half a regiment equipped. He gave me this.
Uh-huh. What is it?
Bag of grain he gave me.
Huh.
Wants me to settle down in the colonies and be a farmer. Now, this is what I think of his
grain. No, wait, wait. Don't throw it in the fire. Yeah, let's look at it.
You've seen a bag of wheat before?
Yes, when I was a farmer in Africa. It's been a long time.
You finger it as if it were gold.
It is.
Oh, nonsense. Make the guns I ordered. Forget the wheat. I'll find a way to outfit an army. Come and march with me and I'll show you real gold.
I made the guns and I went and marched with Cortez. But the wheat went with me. He went to Mexico. Everything he touched turned to loot, blood, and gold. In a week, his armies brought to an end an ancient Aztec civilization. He stalked Montezuma and hacked him down. Then he ruled the land in the name of the king with fire in his fist. I made guns until I was sick of it. One day, when the fighting stopped, I slipped away and went to live with the Indians. I was gone a year. When I came back to Mexico City, I had something to show him. He snapped when he saw me.
Deserter. So they found you. I should have you hanged.
I came back of my own free will, Cortez.
Well, why did you come back?
I brought you this gift, friend. Something you haven't seen for a long time.
What have you got wrapped there? Have you found a new jewel?
It's as good as a jewel. Look.
What? All you've got's a loaf of bread.
It's from the wheat you were going to throw away. I showed the Indians how to plant it. This is from the first harvest.
You waste your time planting wheat when my men are giving their lives for gold. Take your bread back to the Indians and take up your guns again. I came to win a world and you plant wheat.
I planted more wheat and taught the Indians how to care for it. I watched it grow while we marched through Mexico trying to put down the revolts that sprang up like leaks in a dike wherever we moved. Then we grew tired, and enemies of Cortez caught the king's ears. We went back to Spain. Cortez, the conqueror of a million people, wandered in the streets homeless. He never understood.
What's happened to me, Raylan? They stood in the streets and cheered when I passed. Now no one knows me.
Crowds forget easily.
But even the king, his carriage passed me today. I jumped on it and I said, Your Majesty, don't you remember me? And he said, Who are you? He asked me who I was.
Did you tell him?
I yelled at him. I said, You fool. I'm the one who gave you more territory than all your ancestors put together. Then the guard struck me. No one remembers this. The only talk about the new explorers. The new ones.
Back in Mexico, Cortez.
They hate us. You know it. We left nothing but hatred there.
We left them food. We left them wheat.
It was growing tall when we left. When they think of the gold we took,
They'll curse us. But when they eat the wheat, will they still think of the gold or of the greater things?
And that's what I told this Pizarro. I told him to leave something that people could live by. Still, he wouldn't listen. Oh,
there's no need to shout now. Pizarro can't hear you.
He would have been alive if he'd listened to me. He called me from Spain to teach him to read and write. The only writing he did was to mark the walls of a room and tell the Inca he had captured to fill it with gold if he wanted to be free.
I remember that very well. I saw the gold come in. I helped to stack it.
Yes. When the room was filled, he killed the Inca. I came to him. I warned him of the hatred he was leaving. And that time he listened and then said...
Elvado.
Yes.
I sent for you to teach me the simple things I hadn't time to learn as a child.
I tried to teach you.
I've listened to you. I've heard your tales. I've decided it's not teaching we need.
Well, what do you need, sir?
We need slaves. We need men who'll work and not cry for a share of everything I have. Hereafter, you will work in the fields, not in the classroom.
What work can I do in the fields?
Well, you can dig graves. Yes, dig graves.
That is why I want this grave dug deep. Deep enough so that he and the hatreds he brought to the new world can be buried together. Deep enough so a new crop can grow up. New people can come out clean, fresh, and good, like the wheat Raylan planted. Go on, Omar. Dig deeper.
Just heard Destination Freedom story, Dark Explorers, the story of Negro explorers in the New World. Destination Freedom, a special radio series dramatizing the great democratic heritage of the Negro people, is brought to you by WMAQ's Department of Education and the Chicago Defender newspaper. Next week, we bring you the story of Deborah Gannett, the first woman soldier in the Revolutionary War. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Homer Heck. The cast included Boris Aplon, Oscar Brown, Don Gallagher, William Key, George Kluge, Charles Mountain, Arthur McCoo, Fred Pinkard, and Jess Pugh. The singer was Greg Pascal. Richard Shores composed the special music, which was played by Elwin Owen and Bobby Christian. The task of training the scores of Negro doctors, nurses, teachers, lawyers, all so desperately needed today, is being largely accomplished by 32 Negro colleges. These colleges need your help to carry on this training of better citizens for America. For further details, write the United Negro College Fund, 69 West Washington Street, Chicago 2. This is Hugh Downs inviting you to be with us again next week for another in our series on the Negro in Democracy. Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.